Today is Monday, April the 15th, 2024. Welcome to episode 56 of Farm Wife Sexy Life with Candy Couple. My name is Julia. Myself and my husband Aaron are a small homestead family in rural Southwest Virginia that work every single day to be more self-reliant, less dependent on outside sources, merging homesteading and frugality. And a huge part of my frugal journey is building my pantry, my working pantry. And I've talked about this. And for me, as a female homesteader, because part of homesteading is naturally prepping, having a really strong working pantry is just one of the most important aspects and one of my most important jobs on the homestead. Talked about division of labor, and I'm going to talk about that a bit more. I think Aaron and I need to do a podcast on how we divide labor, because we've been doing a lot of this since I've came home full time versus when we were working, both working, we would do a lot of these, you know, jobs together, even if one of us could have done them by themselves. But for me, keeping a really well-stocked, very strong working pantry of foods that my family eats is so vital, is so important. It is my lifeblood. This is my family's lifeline. If you think back to, what was that? I can't even remember. 20 questions. You get a call a friend, or you have a lifeline, all of those. This is my lifeline. It really is. It's who wants to be a millionaire? That was what it was. Yep. This is my lifeline in our household, because if Aaron were to lose his job or something were to happen and I needed to start a pantry challenge, I would be good. I would be okay because I could do that. I could start a pantry challenge because I have enough food stocked up that we could go several weeks, several months without having to go to the grocery store except for a few very small items. We've talked about this. Our bare bones budget, if we had to go way, way down to just the necessities, I mean, I could do $100 a month or less in our grocery store just to get the bare necessities and to slowly keep my pantry stockpiled, which is so very important. Now, talked about working pantry, talked about how to build it, talked about how to build it on a budget. I will say, like, even now, I'm very focused, even with this Meals for Deals series that we've been doing, or Meals from Deals series that we've been doing, I've been very hyper-intense and focused on keeping my working pantry well-stocked, especially with meat right now. For some reason, meat has been crazy good deals for us lately, so I've been getting a lot of food. My last Meals from Deals, if you saw that, it was actually spent 60 some dollars on our whole grocery budget for the month, for the week, and 40 of that was for my working pantry because the deals were that good, and then the rest of it was for the meal, $27, $28, somewhere around there. And to me, that is a very good proportion. I mean, I'm focusing only on building my pantry for the most part. This week we spent $48, less than $48, and almost all of that was for the pantry. I had meat that was on sale. It was a really good price. And then we got our basic milk and bananas for the little one. And then again, a few small things to keep my pantry well stocked and sufficient. And it just makes you feel better. So I want to talk about pantry staples today, because I feel like this is so important. And a lot of people who don't have a pantry kind of struggle with this. They're like, where do I even start? So the number one thing you need to do is write down food your family likes. Write it down. What are the, I got a little frog in my throat. What are the 3, 4, 5 meals your family likes? I actually keep a very versatile pantry, and I'll talk about that as we go through this. But I do whole ingredients that I can make multiple meals from. So you want to write down those meals, write down the ingredients you need, whatever they may be. Taco seasoning, whatever. I'm not going to begrudge you buying taco seasoning. I buy taco seasoning. It's cheaper for me to buy taco seasoning than it is to make it, because I get it such a cheap deal. And it's one we have grown to really like. So I keep it very well stocked. And if you all haven't noticed, we eat a lot of meals with taco seasoning as a base. It's just one of those things that works really well for us. So write down all the ingredients and figure out, okay, I need to have the ingredients on hand to make this meal this many times, whatever your number needs to be. If you want to do 2 weeks and you have 5 meals, you know, that's, you need to be able to make that those meals 3 times. So get the ingredients, start looking for deals and searching for those ingredients to get those ingredients 3 times. I would say if you're looking for a week's worth of meal, I'd probably do 7 days worth of meals. And you can't just think of one dinner. You can't forget you need breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So you need to make sure you're able to cover all your bases. Now, I would tell you, the way I cook, I kind of get that. I don't have to deal with this as much because we have the same breakfast throughout the week. We have the same lunch. And then we have 1 to 2 dinners that we rotate throughout the week. So I don't have to deal with this. But that's how my family runs. And a lot of other families run differently. They need a different meal. I would say for lunch, I would, you know, keep those first 2 meals very, very simple, very, very easy for you. That way you have fewer ingredients. It's really easy for you to have them on hand and put them through. Dinner is probably where you want to get more complicated, but don't just think it's just one meal you're looking at. You're looking at three meals, and if you need snacks on hand, that's another thing. But I know a lot of toddlers are better snackers than they are actual eaters, like at a mealtime. I know for Isabel, I can get her to eat snacks some days better than I can get a meal. We've tried to cut down on snacks. We did a lot more snacks before, and we've really cut those back. But if she tells me she's hungry, I'm going to go get her a snack. It's just what it is. So I always want to make sure I have a good stockpile of those, especially travel snacks. So this is something you need to think about based on your family's needs. My family needs are different from yours. So you've got to focus this on your family, not what somebody else is telling you. I'm going to give you a list of my pantry staples. Your pantry staples might be totally different. You might be gluten-free, you might be dairy-free, you might be all of these things. And what I say needs to be in my pantry is going to be different from yours. So, let's jump into this. Sorry, I had one here that I forgot about. Okay, so the first thing I would say, you need to have sources of protein, so canned meat. I focus on chicken, but I have tuna and I have a few others on hand, and I don't have as much chicken as I want. I really want to have at any given time, at minimum, 50 cans or jars of chicken on hand. I know I need to start canning this myself, and that's a goal. Hopefully by the end of the year, I'm canning my own chicken and we have that on hand, and I can just go ahead and use that. The problem is for me is sourcing it to where it's a reasonable price, because our chicken has really went up. So hopefully the goal is that I can do this here soon, but by the end of the year, until then, I need to supplement with other sources of canned chicken. So I buy it when it's on sale, put it in my pantry, and we use that for like quick lunches or dinners if I need it. But I really try not to use this because this is like my quick meals or emergency food, but it is a pantry staple for me. I do like to have it. If you like tuna, have tuna, sardines, whatever kind of canned meat you have. And this is also a prepping food. So, and I put this first because of the protein, and it's shelf stable. If you have a power outage or something like that, it's just so handy to have. It really is. It absolutely is. And I can't stress how much I do rely on this canned chicken. It's just one of those things that I can make quesadillas, I can make buffalo chicken wraps, I can do anything I want to with canned chicken. And all I have to make the wraps, a little flour, salt, and water, and oil, and I'm done. That's it. It's so easy. So it works out really well for us. My second staple is grains, oats, and rice. I've got my grains and oats and rice. I've put them all together because they're so important to us in our family. We eat oatmeal just about every morning. Oatmeal is really a staple for us. If not oatmeal, then we're eating a pumpkin bread or something of that nature. Rice, we eat that like every other week. And a lot of times I'll make that for the little one for maybe for lunch. If we're having something that she might not eat without an extra starch in there, I'll make rice for her because she eats it the best. It's just, they're so versatile. You can do so many things with them. And they're just such good ingredients to have on hand. So think your wheat berries, your flours, your rice, your whole oats. I might lean towards groats if you could get the machine, because you could use the groats. You could grind them into oat flour, or you can get the little flaker, and then you can make your own oats from that. I'm kind of on the fence either way. It is a little bit cheaper. I'm also looking at possibly having some semolina flour on hand to make our own homemade pasta for when we want pasta. So these are all things that we look at. For my flour right now, I have King Arthur, but I also have wheat berries on hand. My goal is by the end of this year, I have shifted away from having to use the pre-dump flour to using only wheat berries. If not by the end of this year, by the first of next year. We will see. It's going to depend on how much time I have because of our canning season. This year's going to, it looks at the time of the recording of this in April, it looks like it's going to be pretty crazy. So we will see. The next thing is going to be yeast or a sourdough starter of some kind. We make bread, and that's kind of where we've went to, and I've been making homemade bread since the beginning of the year, and my family really likes it. I'll make a couple loaves, I'll put some in the freezer, and then whenever I'm ready, I'll pull it out, and we do both yeast and sourdough. I like them both. I'm hoping to shift us mostly to sourdough, mostly for the health benefits of it, but I'm okay with yeast bread too. We like them all. So that's a good staple to have. I would say, like, both of them do require, you know, if you're not using your sourdough the entire time, you need to dehydrate it. You can have some of that on hand. And then for yeast, if you're going to keep it for any length of time, keep it in your freezer. That's what I tend to do. I keep my yeast in my freezer and then my sourdough in the refrigerator till I'm ready to use it. And I know there's a lot of controversy on that. I've not had any issues, so that's just for me and my family. Canning supplies is my next pantry staple. And a lot of people will be like, that's not a pantry staple. Oh, but it is. When you can a lot of food. It absolutely 100% is a pantry staple, because I need to make sure I always have at least a year's worth of canning supplies before that year happens. 2020, you couldn't find it. You couldn't get jars. You couldn't get anything. Because, you could not find them. And then when you did, they were outrageously priced. And the prices only continued to go up. You could get a set of flats. 12 flats for your jars is at least $5 to $6 now. It was, you know, before we were paying $2 to $3. It's just gotten outrageously expensive for your supplies. So what we do is we're always a year ahead, at least a year ahead. We buy on sale at around Christmas. It tends to be the best time to get that. And we have shifted to 4-jar lids. I've not had the rust issues I was having. I was having a lot of issues with another particular brand that I liked before. And there were brand new flats that we had just bought in jars that had rust all over them. And they shouldn't have had rust on them. And then I had 22 failures in a patch of peaches that I shouldn't have had 22 failures on. So we kind of struggled that year, and it was twice. It happened 2 times in a row. Same types of lids. So we've really made that switch to 4 jars. This is not sponsored. I don't have anything through them. But I will say that what I have used of them has worked out really well for me. So they have worked out really well. And you can get a good deal on them. You just have to be prepared for it. So I would say start putting your money aside. Make sure you have your canning supplies. Look for those deals on Black Friday so you can really maximize and be getting ahead for the next year's canning season. Emergency foods, my next one. I always have a shelf of emergency foods. I do, and I will always have this shelf of emergency foods, because when we have a power outage or anything like that, yes, we have ways to cook. Yes, we have ways to do these things, but sometimes I might not be able to do it because I need to work and do things on the homestead. I need to take care of our chickens, hopefully our ducks, and all these other things, and it might be a real struggle for me to handle all of that all at once. So I need to make sure I have emergency food so I can keep Aaron and Isabel moving in the right direction. So it really depends on your family what that looks like. But for us, it would be Pop-Tarts. My goal is to get us to 100% organic Pop-Tarts that are shelf stable and understand still have bad stuff in them. Yes, they do. But I will feel a lot better than the ones that we are currently working through right now that we had gotten on a really good price but aren't as healthy. Totally get that. But this is a decision we make. The other thing is soups, chilies that are canned, you know, whether you home can or you buy them, whatever you're doing, always great to have. You can put them over baked potato, over rice, you know, anything that you want. You can really utilize them in multiple ways. So it's always good to have these on hand. Crackers is a great one. And then breakfast bars. Breakfast bars are so underutilized. They are so wonderful to have. But if you need a quick snack and, you know, like Aaron's out shoveling the driveway, he needs a quick snack and he needs something warm, I could get him a breakfast bar and make him a quick instant mocha. That's another thing, having those instant drinks really quickly, like a mocha or a French vanilla latte sort of thing. You can get just the mixes that you can throw together really fast. Those are always good to have on hand if your family likes it. And again, I'm doing this based off of my family's needs, not somebody else. So some of these things might not work for others. This is what I've kind of learned over the years works best for us, because I can't guarantee I'll be able to stand over the wood stove and do the things that need to be done when we have a power outage or if we get snuck in a snowdrift or something like that. I need to be able to make sure I have flexibility in my time and schedule, which is what a lot of this is about. Your pantry needs to be flexible. It needs to work for your family, not you work with your pantry. That's what a pantry is for. It's to work for your family, to make your life better, to enhance your world, to make it so you don't have to worry and stress. So what I have in my pantry is going to be completely different from a lot of other people. And that's okay. That is totally okay. My goal is eventually my entire pantry is full of nothing but my home canned foods. I don't know if I'll ever get there, but that's my goal. That's my dream. And I'm going to work towards it. I'm going to work every single day to get there. And I feel like I'm making a lot of strides. This year, I'm hoping to be canning plumcots and apricots and all these other things that we're going to have in abundance on our homestead, so that in the wintertime, I can open up a jar of apricots. We can have that with a Pop-Tart if the power goes out and we have a meal or a cereal bar. Something like that, because it's just the goal is to be have a really flexible pantry, so that way if I'm in a stressful time, this is one thing I don't have to worry about. Either it's going to be there to save me whenever, you know, money is tight, or it's going to be there to save me when my time is tight. So look at it that way. You're looking at it for money and time, so you have to kind of balance those two out. And it's okay if you have some convenience items that are on a shelf that are like, okay, these are emergency convenience items. We don't eat these every day. We don't use these every day. But they have a purpose in our home. And we need these items. And yes, sometimes we have to eat them to rotate through them and replace them. And we have a plan in place for that. But that's the goal here. You want to make sure you're really rotating and your pantry is working for you and not against you. I don't want to be struggling with my pantry to do things. I want my pantry to really work with my day-to-day. I have one more thing, and then I have some bonus items to share. So the next thing is going to be spices. Spices are so important. And we have an overabundance. Oh my God, we got so many spices. Aaron is obsessed with spices. we have three shelves of spices, and I shouldn't have that many. I really need that down to two at maximum. And we're working through them because we just have an abundance of them. A lot of them we're going to be working through. We're not going to be replacing, but I do keep the basics. Your garlic, your chili powder, your red pepper flakes, your cayenne powder, your ground ginger, your basil, your parsley. If you like Italian seasoning, you can make it or you can buy it. Your oregano. All of these things you want to have on hand. You want to have enough for your family to really flavor. We use a lot of spices. We do have quite a bit. But whatever you like to have on hand, make sure you have enough that you can use that to season your food. If you like to have pre-made taco seasoning, have a couple packets of pre-made taco seasoning on hand. It does help. A brown gravy mix is another one. I've tried making it at home. It doesn't. If anybody has a recipe, send it my way. It never really works out. It's never brown. It just isn't brown. It's not right. And it's not something I can substitute. Like, I can substitute a lot of things. I can make changes with a lot of things. But brown gravy, because I'm not a white gravy eater, is just one of those things I'm very stuck on. Like, if we eat it or if I put it in something, it has to be pure brown gravy. So I do keep that on hand. That's one of my seasoning packets I keep on hand because I've tried several recipes and it's just not the same. It's not the same. It doesn't taste the same. It doesn't look the same. It doesn't taste better. It's just one of those things that it kind of bothers me. But make sure you know you and your family. So that's what you want to stock up on. Bonus items. So these are a few things I like to make sure we always have on hand. Ramen. Ramen. Just ramen. I will make the sauce that goes in the ramen with canned chicken. This is one of my favorite, like, weekend meals, Sunday or Saturday, whenever we're really busy. I could throw this together in minutes, and it's such a good meal to have. We really like that. So I always like to have ramen. We're moving towards organic ramen, trying to find the best source for that, if it's Amazon or Azure, because we want to make sure we're maximizing our dollars to the best that we can. Sauces. So Erin likes to put a lot of sauces together, so we have a lot of base condiments, but we also do, you know, source other sauces that we do like to have, and I try to make sure I have a couple of those on hand and give it to them. Shelf-stable milk is my last one. This is so important, especially with the toddler. I have to have shelf-stable milk, and I always make sure I can make at least a half a gallon. So we have powder, but I also get the containers of shelf-stable milk for her. And I will rotate through them. Erin and I will use them in other recipes whenever it's time to get through them, because we can't tell a difference. And our Dollar Tree, and I've seen others online show these as well, they have these and they are really good. That modern, I think it's Modern Pantry. They're not bad at all. So shelf-stable milk is a great thing to have in your pantry, especially on your emergency side, just to have a couple of those, especially if you have littles. Like, look and see how much they need for a particular time frame. We go through 2 gallons a week with her. No, she doesn't get a lot, but we use some of that too. We use it for coffee creep. So we go through 2 gallons a week. So I would want to make sure that I always have at least 2 gallons, if not 4. Just to have on an emergency hand. But if it got to that point, Erin and I wouldn't be having coffee creamer. We wouldn't be having coffee. Just for that fact. Because we would use it for her, not for us. So, I hope this inspires you. Helps you thinking. Helps make you re-envision how your pantry works for you and with you. And you can make your pantry flexible for your time or for your family needs. Whatever they might be. In an emergency situation, because I feel like we look at a pantry, it's like, oh, this is for emergency, or oh, it's for this, and we don't really look at it as this being this multi-use, versatile part of our life. And it is. It can be so useful. You can use it in so many different ways. You want your pantry to be able to meet all your needs, and I feel like we focus in one area, we don't focus the others. So I try to make sure my pantry meets all my needs. Am I very good at it? I'm working towards it. I've gotten a lot better over the years, but I won't tell you I haven't had mishaps. We all do. But I will say, as I'm moving more towards this single ingredient lifestyle, this whole foods lifestyle, this everything, and truly embracing, you know, the me I want to be, it's gotten easier. It's gotten so much easier. I'm seeing space. I'm like, well, I can't wait to fill this up with jars of apricots and plumcots. I'm so excited. I'm just so excited about this. So I hope this inspires you. Let me know in the comments. Let me know by email at thekingcouple@yahoo.com if you have any questions, anything you have to add to this, or if you want to hear something in particular from me. And as always, thank you for joining me on Farm My Sexy Life with the Candy Couple, where we work hard, live simple, and enjoy life. Have a wonderful day.